Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, time for news of the land of 4,000 princes, our freedom-loving friends in Saudi Arabia. Well, you may have heard about all this already. It's billed as the biggest comedy festival in the world. It's the inaugural Riyadh Comedy Festival, capital of Saudi Arabia. It's running, started September 26th. It's still running for like another week. Features some of the biggest names in U.S. comedy, it says here in The Guardian, such as Dave Chappelle, Louis C.K. I got something to show you, Louis. Kevin Hart.
Hi, you cashback.
That Kevin Hart. And more. They're taking their fees directly from the Saudi government. Well, who else? The event's producers include Sila, a live events company, just happened to be owned by Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund, and the kingdom's General Entertainment Authority, chaired by a royal advisor who's dogged by allegations of human rights violations, including the detention of people who criticize him on social media. The U.S.-based talent agency William Morris Endeavor and Bruce Hills, the former president of the famed Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal, also involved as consultants and producers. Comedians have already received criticism from Human Rights Watch, which argued that the festival is an effort by Saudi regime to whitewash its notorious abuses. Some of the comedians performing at the festival don't seem particularly concerned about the criticism or the alleged wrongdoing of the regime. Quote, one reporter was killed by the government. Unfortunate, but not a hill I'm going to die on, said Jim Jeffries. Maybe you've heard of him. Arguing it's for the greater good that freedom of speech machines, like himself, bestow their edgy material on the kingdom. Since making the comments, Jeffries disappeared from the festival's lineup. No comment from his reps. Some comics were transparent about their willingness to ignore their moral convictions. Quote, so what, they have slaves? Asked Tim Dillon. Maybe you've heard of him. They're paying me enough money to look the other way, he added. Pete Davidson offered a similar take, acknowledging in a chat that people have asked him why, given his father's death on 9/11, he would take a paycheck from the Saudi government. He didn't address the criticism directly, but he did suggest he was happy to forget 9/11 for the right price. The comedian and former SNL writer Nimesh Patel, announcing he had dropped out of the festival, said he was offered a lot of money. I'm not in a position to say no to life-changing money, but it wasn't life-changing. Even if the bigger names on the bill were offered huge sums, none of them are hard up for cash. Chappelle, Kevin Hart,
hey, you cash back,
and several others are multimillionaires who sell hundreds of thousands of tickets. Many of the comments billed have spent the last decade plus fashioning themselves as the vanguard of free speech, says The Guardian, decrying backlash to bigoted jokes as tantamount to the very sort of state repression they're now endorsing. Some of the festival's headliners even criticized explicitly their new patrons in the past, but this time around, they had to agree to a proposed contract, which included content restrictions, forbade material that denigrates the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, including its new leadership, public figures, culture, or people, as well as the country's legal system. I didn't know it had one. Dave Chappelle, one of more than 50 performers participating, said, quote, right now in America, they say that if you talk about Charlie Kirk, that you'll get canceled, he told an audience of 6,000. Continuing, I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to find out. He then added, it's easier to talk here than it is in America. unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, it sounds contrary to the feeling a lot of people I know share that this is, none of this has ever happened before. This kind of has, more than three decades ago when it triggered, pardon the expression, triggered a little ditty on, no, not the one who got on this particular program. As you'll hear now on Hello, Welcome to the Show.
This is the Sheriff of Yahoo County talking. If you're selling smutty rap, you better start walking. No use suing. No use squawking. The judge says I can come in and hush you. If you want free speech, go to Russia. Go to Russia. Now right-thinking people are taking a stand. We're giving each other a helping hand, wiping up the crap that's spread all over this land. Your rights stop where my rights crush you. If you want free speech, go to Russia. Go to Russia. Museums to movies to record stores, we're drying up America's sores. A mind is a terrible thing to have without doors. So don't make me come in and cuff and cuss you. If you want free speech, better go to Russia. Better go to Russia. What's the good of being fresh if you're not clean? I'm stronger than dirt, in my meaning. Oh, in Russia, they just abolished censorship, but hey, it's just another communist trick. So you can rest assured they won't get ticked off if you talk trash about your dingus to Gorbachev. Now, I can't do much about drugs and crooks, but I can sure force the dirty words back into hiding where they belong, in books. So take a not-so-mean old sheriff's advice. Talk nice when you're in my jurisdiction. Avoid the friction. Don't get your head bent. Forget the First Amendment. After all, it was written a long time ago. And I just sent my only copy to Moscow. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against rap. But every bad kid needs an occasional slap. And there's plenty of clean art all over the map. Oh, if you make poo-poo, I'm gonna come flush you. If you want free speech, take a slow boat to Russia. Go to Russia. Thank you very much.
From New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this week's edition of the show. And ooh, it's not just autumn in here; it's like a crypto winter. Not like it; it is. One day after Griffin AI launched its GAIN token on Binance Alpha, an attacker minted 5 billion fake GAIN tokens on the Ethereum blockchain, my favorite blockchain, then exploited a cross-chain endpoint to trick the bridge to the Binance chain into recognizing them as the real thing. The attacker was only able to sell a small fraction of their tokens, made off approximately with $3 million as the token plunged in price. But that's not all. Some $3.6 million has been sent from hyperliquid yield farming platform HyperVault to crypto mixer Tornado Cash in an, quote, abnormal withdrawal, unquote, according to Decrypt. A security firm noted the transfer in which $3.6 million worth of cryptocurrencies went to the Ethereum chain before being transferred to Tornado Cash. A Web3 security service provider disclosed the Pacific wallets linked to the withdrawals. The website of HyperVault is inaccessible following the incident. The project rose to popularity among yield farming investors for featuring special vaults, you still with me, that promised an annual yield of upwards of 76% on stablecoins. See what's behind this now? 76% yield. The incident comes after a recent announcement from the project it had surpassed $5 million in total value earlier this week. According to DeFi Llama, there's a rug pull notice for the project that refers to a scheme where founders siphon user funds and abandon the project. Well, that couldn't. And Dateline Los Angeles, a federal judge this week dismissed a class action suit filed by collectors of non-fungible tokens and cryptocurrency. They claim that Yuga Labs, the company that created the Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT, colluded with celebrities to artificially inflate the prices of its products. Celebrities wouldn't. The U.S. judge, an Obama appointee, found that plaintiffs failed to show that the digital assets created by Yuga Labs, including the NFT collection and the cryptocurrency ApeCoin, were securities. The Bored Ape collection was one of the most successful NFT collections, endorsed by a slew of celebrities, your Justin Bieber, your Paris Hilton, your Madonna. They shot to popularity on the back of cryptocurrencies by using blockchain technology to create a unique digital file for, well, you know all that. You remember that. It plunged out of memory years ago now. The plaintiffs who purchased NFTs or cryptocurrency from Yuga Labs filed a class action lawsuit 3 years ago claiming the digital assets are unregistered securities. They accused Yuga Labs of colluding with a Hollywood talent agent, well, as your first, and MoonPay, a platform used to buy and sell cryptocurrency. Of course, why would you go with EarthPay when they allege they misleadingly promoted and sold the financial products? The plaintiffs named several celebrities as defendants. You're Justin Bieber, you're Paris Hilton, you're Serena Williams, you're Steph Curry, arguing they violated federal and state securities law when they promoted the products. The defendants argued the securities-related claim should be dismissed because none of their digital assets qualify as a security, and the judge agreed. Gave the plaintiffs until next week to file an amended complaint. Representatives for the defense declined to comment. So did the NFTs. Ooh, it's a crypto winter. And speaking of upstanding celebrities,
looks like Musk Club.
It might not be long before you look up and see a fiery, slow-moving object streaking across your night sky and breaking into pieces. That's if you haven't seen such a thing already. This according to EarthSky.org. There are currently 1 to 2 Starlink satellites falling back to Earth every day. That's according to retired Harvard astrophysicist Jonathan McDowell. There are more than 8,000 Starlink satellites overhead at this moment, thanks to the owner of SpaceX, a certain Mr. Musk. They're a product of the space transportation company he owns. The number is growing, and there are other companies and countries also deploying more and more satellites, adding to the number of them in Earth orbit. Many of them are in low Earth orbits, and the lifespan of low Earth orbit satellites, like Starlink, 5 to 7 years. Soon, says McDowell, there will be up to 5 satellite reentries per day. For the low orbit satellites, we, says McDowell, expect a 5-year replacement cycle, and that translates to 5 reentries a day. It's not clear if the Chinese will orbit lower theirs or just accelerate us to chain reaction Kessler syndrome. Well, what is that? It's a scenario in which the density of objects in low Earth orbit is high enough that collisions between objects cause a cascade, not the detergent, with each collision generating space debris that increases the likelihood of further collisions. As SpaceX launches more and more Starlink satellites, more of them come falling back to Earth. They don't all fall out of orbit for the same reason, besides the fact that some of them are at the end of their lifespans. Other reasons satellites can re-enter, like high solar activity, solar storms. Operators might be able to boost some satellites back up, but if they can't, the satellites can re-enter the atmosphere prematurely. It's what happened in early 2022 in a solar storm doomed 40 recently launched Starlink satellites. Solar activity isn't the only thing that brings satellites down. Malfunctions can occur. For example, July of last year, a Falcon 9 rocket from SpaceX failed during its second stage, leaving 20 Starlink satellites in the wrong orbit. And, according to McDowell, all but 2 of the satellites re-entered on the day of launch. The last one re-entered July 20th, 8 days after launch. Re-entered, in this case, of course, means returned in a fiery fashion to Earth. Maybe near you. No. Meanwhile, Senators Edward Markey of Massachusetts and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, both Democrats, have sent a letter to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration asking it for a formal investigation into Tesla's full self-driving so-called system because of reported failures to safely detect and respond to railroad crossings. Quote, despite past investigations by NHTSA into Tesla's system, FSD, full self-driving, so-called, reportedly continues to pose an ongoing threat to safety on our public roads because collisions between trains and cars often cause significant fatalities and injuries. FSD's failure to safely navigate railroad crossings creates serious risk of a catastrophic crash, the senators say. A number of Tesla drivers, according to the British Tech Journal, the Register, have reported incidents in which their vehicles using FSD failed to recognize warning signs or even active crossing gates, requiring immediate human intervention to avoid a potentially fatal collision. We don't want those, do we? The Dawn Project has made a mission of exposing Tesla's faults. It provided a video filmed in Ventura County, California, of one of the vehicles with FSD engaged, failing to stop at a crossing. It ignores the red flashing lights and alarm bells and tries to drive straight across the tracks with a train approaching, requiring the driver to hit the brakes. An earlier investigation of NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, last year, after a series of accidents in low visibility conditions and incidents such as a fatal collision with a motorcyclist in Washington State, where a Tesla was operating in autopilot mode. These have added to the concern, demonstrating both the limitations of Tesla's technology, according to the Register, and confusion around the branding of FSD. That's what the senators claim in their letter. Tesla has since renamed the feature Full Self-Driving Supervised, although they say the Full Self-Driving label is both misleading and dangerous. They want NHTSA to force Tesla to adopt a name for its automated driving system that does not mislead drivers about its capabilities, and they want a formal investigation into its operations around railroad crossings. I don't always like to help out in situations like this, but I'd suggest Musk driving. Just Musk driving. That doesn't mislead anybody. And it sounds like Musk love. And now, on a non-technological subject, news of the godly. Church leaders in Wales were made aware of a sexual misconduct allegation against a priest years before his abuse of a child came to light. That's confirmed this week by the Church in Wales, according to the BBC. A report made against Anthony Pierce by a university student way back in the 1980s reached the desk of his bishop, but the church has found no record of him being disciplined. Pierce went on to become a bishop himself, but in March of this year admitted five charges of indecent assault against a boy under the age of 16 between 1985 and 1990. A spokesperson for the church in Wales, part of the Anglican Communion, said clergy who informed the bishop acted, quote, in accordance with appropriate practice at the time, but a similar allegation would be handled differently now. It's the latest incident, according to the BBC, the church has had to contend with in recent months after Andrew John, the former Archbishop of Wales, retired following two critical reports into the culture at a cathedral. This new detail follows a BBC investigation into the church in Wales, which heard from victims of abuse who said their safeguarding cases were being mishandled, not to mention the children. Pierce served as a bishop from 1999 to 2008, has since been jailed for sexually abusing a boy while he was still a parish priest. But that was before he was a bishop. And Robert Morris, the Texas megachurch pastor accused of child abuse, pleaded guilty this week to five felony counts of lewd or indecent acts with a child. He had a plea agreement. He'll serve 6 months in the county jail and pay $250,000 in restitution. His career collapsed June of last year after a 55-year-old woman publicly accused him of sexually abusing her when she was 12. Within days, the church announced Morris was stepping down. He acknowledged what he described as a moral failure with a young lady decades earlier, but didn't respond to the specifics of the charge. He founded Texas-based Gateway Church 25 years ago. It's since gained around 100,000 followers across the country. During Donald Trump's first presidential campaign, he named Morris his spiritual advisor and a member of his Evangelical Advisory Committee. Trump once offered a thought on Morris, quote, a great man with a great reputation. News of the godly. And now just a little bit of news about our friend the Atom. The head of the UN's nuclear watchdog, yeah, at least they have one, urged Ukraine and Russia this week to show the political will required to keep the area around the Russian-held Zaporizhia nuclear plant safe to allow its external power line to be reconnected. The plant is Europe's largest. It's got six reactors. I'm only one reactor, and I'm reacting to this. It was seized by Russian forces in the early weeks of Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. The facility has been cut off from external power since late September, the 10th time the line has come down. The plant produces no electricity, but fuel in its reactors is being cooled by emergency diesel generators. The Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency said the external line has to be restored. Quote, both sides say they stand ready to conduct the necessary repairs on their respective sides of the front line. But for this to happen, the security situation on the ground must improve so that the technicians can carry out their work, he said in a statement. I'm calling on both sides, he added, to do what's necessary to prevent a further deterioration. It is a question of political will, not whether it's technically possible, which it is, unquote. Each side, the Russians and the Ukrainians, accuses the other of compromising nuclear safety. Oh, that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the side effects of the week.
If you have hepatitis B, don't stop Dovato without talking to your doctor. Don't take Dovato if you're allergic to its ingredients or taking Dofetilide. This can cause serious or life-threatening side effects. If you have a rash or allergic reaction symptoms, stop Dovato and get medical help right away. Serious or life-threatening lactic acid buildup and liver problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems, or if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or considering pregnancy. Dovato may harm an unborn baby. Most common side effects are headache, nausea, diarrhea, trouble sleeping, tiredness, and anxiety.
Well, anxiety's nothing to worry about. But on the subject of concern, which we all live with these days, here, in case you missed it, were some comments by the current Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick, on a podcast, new podcast, sponsored by Rupert Murdoch's New York Post. Rupert's got a podcast. Here's Howard Lutnick on Jeffrey Epstein.
His assistant, on like a Saturday, says, "Mr. Epstein, your neighbor would like to invite you over for coffee." So my wife and I go next door. You know, we walk the seven steps,
yes,
right, to the next house for coffee. We share a wall.
Right.
Right? So it's in New York City. So he invites us in. We have coffee in this. And he says, "Do you want a tour?"
Mm.
We said, "Great."
Interesting.
He's got a really big house.
Every room you went into?
He's got, well, I'll tell you. So his house is like super big. Really wide. And so he gives me a tour in the living room, big living room. And then across from it is double doors. I assume it's the dining room.
Yeah.
And he opens the doors and there's a massage table in the middle of the room.
Ooh.
And candles all around and stuff. So I ask very insightful, cutting questions. I say to him, "Massage table in the middle of your house? How often do you have a massage?" And he says, "Every day." And then he like gets like weirdly close to me.
Ooh.
And he says, "And the right kind of massage."
Ooh.
Now my wife is standing here. So she looks at me and I look at her and we say, "I'm sorry, we have to go."
Why is there now such a dearth of information when, you know, Donald Trump's people are running the FBI and the DOJ?
I assume way back when, they traded those videos in exchange for him getting that 18-month sentence, which allowed him to have visits and be out of jail. I mean, he's a serial sex offender. How could he get 18 months and be able to go to his office during the day and have visitors and stuff? It must have been a trade. So my assumption, I have no knowledge. But my assumption is there was a trade for the videos because there were people on those videos.
On a completely different subject, you might think, the felon in chief delivered a rousing speech, it's one way of putting it, to an assembled group of high-ranking military officials, generals and admirals flown in from around the world by War Secretary Pete Hegseth for this meeting. And this is just one of the things Trump told them.
You know, when I have a general and I have to sign for a general because we have beautiful paper, the gorgeous paper, I said, "Throw a little more gold on it. They deserve it. Give me, I want the A paper, not the D paper." We used to sign a piece of garbage. I said, "This man's going to be a general, right? Yeah. I don't want to use this. I want to use the big, beautiful, firm paper. I want to use the real gold writing. When you talk about the position, and they're beautiful. And, but how would you like to have that where you, some kid sitting in the back office is having it signed with an auto pen?" I thought about it, and I thought about you people first, admirals, generals. And I said, somebody works his whole life. He gets into maybe the academies or wherever, but however you got there. And you go through years of work, and now you become an admiral or a general or whatever. And when you do, the President of the United States signs your commission, as you know, and that commission is beautifully displayed. And I sign it. Actually, I love my signature. I really do. Everyone loves my signature. But I sign it very proudly, and I always think to myself, how can you have an auto pen sign this? It's just so disrespectful. To me, it's just totally disrespectful.
The remarks lasted more than an hour, and the president never once, to the assembled military leaders, mentioned bone spurs.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. Doralice, eu bem que lhe disse, amar é tolice, é bobagem, é ilusão. Eu prefiro viver tão sozinho ao som do lamento do meu violão. Doralice, eu bem que lhe disse, olha essa embrulhada em que vou me meter. Agora, amor, Doralice, meu bem, como é que nós vamos fazer? Doralice, eu bem que lhe disse, amar é tolice, é bobagem, é ilusão. Eu prefiro viver tão sozinho ao som do lamento do meu violão. Doralice, eu bem que lhe disse, olha essa embrulhada em que vou me meter. Agora, amor, Doralice, meu bem, como é que nós vamos fazer? Um belo dia você me surgiu, eu quis fugir, mas você insistiu. Alguma coisa bem que andava me avisando, até parece que eu estava adivinhando. Eu bem que não queria me casar contigo, bem que não queria enfrentar este perigo, Doralice. Agora você tem que me dizer, como é que nós vamos fazer?
White House, where I go when I don't want to take questions. This is Bibi Netanyahu's favorite president with another edition of Truth Social Audio brought to you by Trump Dentures when you want to take a bite out of crime. The fake media is getting faker and faker. Is that possible? I think it is. This week they pushed a story so sick and stupid. Only a very seriously brain-damaged child could have believed it. And I love the brain-damaged children. They're beautiful. The story claimed that I had ordered the production of a coin with my picture on both sides. It was a $1 coin. First of all, if Donald J. Trump is going to appear on any coin, it would be a lot higher value than a dollar, believe me. And also, who uses coins anymore in this country? We've already killed the penny, which was, of course, such a beautiful coin. So if any plans are going on for Donald J. Trump's face on something of value where it should be, I assure you it would be on something more like a $100 bill. I've had a few million of those in my lifetime. They're very special pieces of paper. And as for so-called prohibitions against the living president's picture being on the money, I'd like to see the vicious and extremely sick Democrats reject a living president who goes on to win the Nobel Peace Prize and is added to Mount Rushmore. Something else is special. That's my Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick's strange comments this week about a guy named Epstein, who I've never met. Howard, who himself is wealthy like no one has ever seen, was being critical of Epstein's massage bed, even though it's well known that it was the very best massage bed on the market, a Bonio, which I hear is like the gold standard of massage beds. I think I've heard that Epstein's model even had some gold on it, which In my opinion, it should. But I wouldn't know. What I do know is that Howard is a really great Commerce Secretary, one of the greatest, and he should maybe stay a little bit more in his lane, which, maybe with the government being shut down by the lunatic Democrats, he will. Thank you for your attention to this matter and to all the other matters. Stay loyal.
Trump Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Nail Polish. Let your fingers do the talking. So long. From New Orleans, this is Le Show. And now, news of AI with a jingle created by AI. What could be more AI?
AI's great. Just first rate. Love or hate, it's the gold state. AI is fine, like a well-aged wine, more like rhyme than turpentine.
The current AI boom is not sustainable. That's according to a research note from Deutsche Bank. And they used to do business with Donald Trump, so they know what's sustainable. The note says tech spending won't remain parabolic. AI capital expenditure is now so massive, it is keeping the U.S. out of recession, according to the bank. Quote, AI machines, in quite a literal sense, appear to be saving the U.S. economy right now, unquote. George Saravelos of Deutsche Bank wrote to clients. Continuing, in the absence of tech-related spending, the U.S. would be close to or in recession this year. Estimates vary as to how much is being spent by AI hyperscalers, according to Fortune magazine, on the data centers and the massive power infrastructure they need to support them. Goldman Sachs estimated that AI capital expenditures totaled $368 billion through August of this year. Whatever the number is, it's so massive it's boosting GDP. Quote, according to the guy at Deutsche Bank, Saravelos, it may not be an exaggeration to write that NVIDIA, the key supplier of capital goods for the AI investment cycle, is currently carrying the weight of U.S. economic growth. The bad news is, in order for that tech cycle to continue contributing to GDP growth, capital investment needs to remain parabolic. This is highly unlikely. He also noted that growth is not coming from AI itself, but from building the factories to generate AI capacity. Microsoft is jumping on the vibe coding bandwagon with Vibe Working, its name for adding AI agents to the Office suite to help you complete your work, if you still work. The addition, an AI-powered agent mode for Word and Excel, will create documents based on existing material and extract data from spreadsheets for reports and financial analysis, all with a few sentences of prompts, according to the British Tech Journal Register. Microsoft is promising vibe writing, drawing on existing documents to assemble reports and proposals, checking drafts for clarity and style, suggesting refinements along the way. The Excel agent is designed to take existing spreadsheets and analyze the data, build reports, and visualize data. According to Microsoft's own blog post, the agent mode for Excel scored a accuracy rate of 57.2% using a spreadsheet benchmark. That's significantly lower than the 71.3% humans manage on average in the same tests. But Microsoft says agent mode outperforms other AI engines. Just another reason not to have an agent, ladies and gentlemen, take it from me. Speaking of which, tech analyst Gartner looked at the next big thing in AI evolution, autonomous AI agents, and found that most IT application leaders are still avoiding the technology. The industry-wide survey of 360 bigwigs from organizations with at least 250 full-time employees found that just 15% were considering piloting or deploying fully autonomous agents. Well, they take long lunches, I know that. According to the Gartner survey, only 19% had high or complete trust in their vendors' abilities to protect against AI hallucinations, Those never happen. And a whopping 74% worried that AI agents represented a new attack vector in their organization. This indicates a widening gap between the hype of autonomous AI and the reality enterprises face when trying to implement it. The senior director analyst at the consultancy said, quote, concerns around governance, maturity, and agent sprawl continue to hamper the deployment of truly agentic AI. Unquote. A recent study found that more than 40% of agentic AI projects will be canceled by the end of 2027, with rising costs, unclear business value, and insufficient risk controls cited as factors. Former AI cheerleaders, including Klarna and Duolingo, reportedly switched back to humans after an attempt to swap humans for silicon resulted in a drop in quality. I mean, in quality. Meta, having committed hundreds of billions of dollars to AI infrastructure and talent, says it will start using people's conversations and interactions with AI, its AI services specifically, to create personalized content and personalized advertising. We've waited so long. This is according to the British Tech Journal and Register. This applies to Meta AI, the company's web-based chat interface, and apps that integrate it, such as your Facebook, your Instagram, your WhatsApp. Meta begins using people's text exchanges and voice conversations with its AI service to generate personalized posts, reels, and other attention lures starting this December. Oh, and there's no opt-out. But on the safe side, Meta insists it won't personalize ads based on conversations that touch on religion, sexual orientation, politics, health, race, ethnicity, philosophical belief, or union membership. As courts around the nation grapple with attorneys increasingly filing citations fabricated by AI, one lawyer who represents women accusing Georgia-based comedian Cat Williams of assault was scolded by a federal judge this week. Judge William Ray ordered the lawyer, Lolitha Hale, to explain why she shouldn't face sanctions for violating federal rules of civil procedure. The judge appeared frustrated as he reminded Hale that the rule, which prohibits attorneys from entering documents with baseless legal arguments, was the whole reason for the hearing. The judge discovered that 17 of the 24 cases cited by Hale either did not exist, did not support the proposition for which they were cited, or were misquoted, some of them hallucinations generated by AI. When the judge confronted the attorney about the filing, she said she was distracted with taking care of an ill friend and had asked her daughter, who was not an attorney, to draft the brief for her. The judge said he was disappointed the lawyer didn't bring any testimony from the daughter to see if she was really responsible for the filing. And he added that the lawyer, Hale, submitted subsequent filings with misquoted or non-existent cases, including in her corrected response. And finally, from Financial Times, bioterrorism threats are rising because of advances in artificial intelligence and synthetic biology. It's my favorite kind of biology. Scientists warn this after researchers found a striking vulnerability in software that guards access to genetic material used to make deadly proteins. An international team rolled out updates to close the loophole, but said it was the first zero-day of AI in biosecurity. That means a blind spot unknown to the software developer. The news highlights the growing urgency in dealing with potential threats unleashed by the use of AI as it helps deepen and accelerate the understanding of living systems and how to change them. Experts are seeking to prevent the creation of bioweapons and synthetic organisms that could threaten life on Earth. Well, I think we've had enough of this version. Let's try theirs. AI is great. Now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Rap mogul Sean Diddy Combs was sentenced on Friday, as you probably know by now, to 4+ years in prison. Jury found him guilty of 2 counts of transportation to engage in prostitution, the Mann Act. I don't know why it's not called the Woman Act, but there you go. He gets credit for time served since his arrest before his sentence was handed down. Combs tearfully addressed the court and apologized to victims, his children, and other domestic violence survivors, and begged the judge for mercy. He's a real ditty. A lot of controversy surrounding golf all of a sudden. Professional Golfers Association of America President Don Ray Jr. He compared vitriolic comments at the Ryder Cup to what could be heard at a youth soccer game. Now he apologizes in an email to the 30,000-plus golf professionals he serves. Quote, "Let me begin with me must own," he said. Speaking of a Ryder Cup event marred by a gallery that made it personal and profane in their response to the European team. Quote, "While the competition was spirited, some fan behavior clearly crossed the line," said Ray's letter. "It was disrespectful, inappropriate, and not representative of who we are as the PGA of America or as PGA America golf professionals. We condemn that behavior unequivocally. What makes our sport great is that we own our bogeys. We certainly own this one." Our CEO has apologized on our behalf to Erica and Rory McIlroy. He's an Irish golfer. "I would also like to personally apologize to them and all of you for not representing our association in the best light with some of my comments in the media during the event. While it wasn't my intention, some of my comments were seen in a negative light, which reflects poorly on not only myself, but also on the PGA of America. And for that, I truly apologize. God bless you, and as always, go USA," unquote. President of the PGA. What actually happened? Well, there was unruly behavior beginning as early as last Friday morning when a small section of fans chanted, "F you, Rory," upon seeing McIlroy's image on a video screen. It only got worse with vulgar language directed at European players, video of a beer being slapped out of someone's hand toward McIlroy's wife, and a comedian hired to lead cheers on the first tee, getting involved in the expletive-laden chant toward McIlroy. And that comedian, Heather McMahon, also apologized. She stepped down from her role as MC of the tournament after she was seen participating in a crowd-led F U Rory chant. The tournament's organizers issued a statement saying the comic has extended an apology to McIlroy, and she ended her hosting gig one day early. On a podcast a couple days later, she called the behavior a horrible mistake. She said the experience leading up to the vulgar chant was frustrating because I thought that the job I was hired to do was not really what it ended up being. She thought she'd be doing celebrity interviews and she'd be included in the broadcast, but ended up feeling like, quote, a glorified cheerleader at the tournament. About the chant, she said, "I made the absolute horrible mistake of saying it back to them once. I'm kind of like laughing to myself, also like question mark, like, F you, Rory?" She said she takes full responsibility for repeating the chant and wants to sincerely apologize to Rory and Team Europe. And two-time U.S. Ryder Cup captain Tom Watson also apologized to the winning European team for the behavior of American fans at the Ryder Cup. "I'd like to congratulate Europe on their victory. I'd like to apologize for the rude and mean-spirited behavior from our American crowd. As a former player, captain, and as an American, I'm ashamed of what happened," unquote. Watson. All this about golf, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. All this about golf. Tennis star Lorenzo Musetti has apologized to Chinese fans after an encore outburst in Beijing. Bad sports behavior this week, don't you think? The Italian world number 9 was annoyed by coughing in the crowd during his match. He lost a point to the French opponent, Giovanni Pericard, before shouting, "These damn Chinese are always coughing," appearing to gesture to the crowd and pointing to his throat. Local media accused him of mouthing, "damn Chinese." The outburst prompted outrage on social media. Quote, "I would like to sincerely apologize for what I said in frustration yesterday during my match," Musetti said on social media. My words were directed only at a few individuals in the crowd who were coughing repeatedly and disturbing the play. They were never in any way meant for the Chinese people. It happened in a moment of stress and tension in the second tiebreak. But still, this is no excuse at all, unquote. He's the second player this month to apologize to Chinese fans after an American tennis player made comments about Chinese food that were widely criticized as culturally insensitive. And football and basketball are supposed to be... London's police chief apologized this week after an undercover reporter filmed officers making sexualized comments, reveling in the use of violence, and expressing racist views. The behavior depicted in this program is reprehensible and completely unacceptable, said the commissioner of the Metropolitan Police. I am truly sorry, he added. Killer Mike, sure you know him, he's a rapper. I'm sorry, a hip-hop artist, has apologized to Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors and his wife Ayesha, following his comments reacting to a TikTok video that ridiculed Ayesha. The Atlanta rapper broadcast his apology during an appearance on a podcast this week, chalking up to his words being, quote, misconstrued, and saying that he was high at the time. Steph Curry, Ayesha Curry, boy, my wife done cussed me out, Mike admitted. My oldest daughter called me. My youngest daughter called me. Homeboys that have played in the NBA called me, he continued. And I realized that maybe I shouldn't smoke and get on Instagram. So let me say this, because I appreciate you checking it. It shows you have a tremendous amount of respect for me, Mrs. Ayesha Curry and her husband, Steph. I apologize for my statement being misconstrued. And despite having no doubts just a few days ago, Afrikaans gospel singer Danny Botha has apologized for misleading the public with his prediction of a rapture this week. He's an entertainer and lay preacher. He claimed that Jesus will return on 23 or 24 September, which would mark the end of the world. No, it didn't happen. This from the South African.com. The claims were first made by a fellow South African pastor, Joshua Makela. His comments made international headlines, not here, babe. In a Facebook Live on Thursday, both apologized to his followers over his comments predicting the rapture. He claimed he was disappointed and heartbroken that his prediction, that he claimed was revealed by God himself, didn't come to pass. Quote, I'm very, very sorry, he said. He added he'd suffered financial loss. No. Although he admitted to getting the date wrong, both claimed there were signs of the end times. Up until late Wednesday, he had told his Facebook followers that the rapture was still possible. Quote, if the Lord does not come, I have to say sorry to the people. This doesn't mean I regret what I said at all. My intention was never to offend anyone. If I'm a fool, he concluded, then I'm a fool for Jesus. Unquote. And just a couple more. Andrew Cuomo has apologized to New York City's Jewish community for his response to the COVID-19 pandemic when he was governor. This is he's in the middle of running for mayor of New York. He said he was acting to protect health and save lives during the pandemic when he angered Orthodox communities by limiting the size of religious gatherings, but did not, quote, always fully consider the sensitivities and traditions that are so deeply important. We could have done better, and for that I am truly sorry. My intentions don't change the impact, and I sincerely ask for your understanding, he said in a video, which was timed to Yom Kippur, when nobody was going to see it. The video was not posted to his social media pages, but spread on social media. A copy was shared with the AP. The apology is a departure from Cuomo and his response to the pandemic. He had heralded it as a prime example of his managerial competence. He's sorry for his competence. And the BBC has apologized this week again, this time over a report on the death of the former Liverpool women's manager. This must be soccer. Over the death of Matt Beard, he was the former manager. He took his own life last month. In a story on the BBC website, the broadcaster published details about the method of Beard's death by suicide. The information, based on a coroner's hearing, was carried in both the headline and body of the story. It's been since edited, with references to suicide removed from the headline. The statement, BBC said it received complaints from readers who felt the story was insensitive because it included inappropriate detail. It was not appropriate to include specific details of his tragic death in a recent headline. We sincerely apologize for the distress this may have caused and will ensure that all future coverage of sensitive issues strictly follows best practice and established guidelines. The Apologies of the Week, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. It returns next week at the same time over the same, what are they called? Radio stations. That's right. And on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. The email address for this program, a chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts. What? And a playlist of music heard here, as well as a lot of stuff to read and watch and mull. All at harryshearer.com. And you're invited to check out my very own channel on YouTube. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego, Hawaii desks. They're not the same desk. San Diego and Hawaii desks. To Pam Halston and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO for help with today's broadcast. And me, thank you for asking. I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO, New Orleans' flagship station of the Changes Easy Radio Network. So long from the Crescent City.